Hello everyone, welcome to the ninth episode of the All About FPL podcast or stream. I'm Aditya and I'm joined with Surya and Sankalp. So game week 4 went right pretty much quickly, right? And these are our talking points. We're going to look at game week 4 in brief, look at the transfer trends, that the players that have been most transferred in and out, the players to target, our captaincy choices, answering a few of the questions from Instagram, and a brief discussion on our first teams. So we'll go straight away to game week 4 results, and as we can see, United finally managed to win and keep a clean sheet, 1-0. The other couple of games, I think Everton will be disappointed with a draw. Brighton kept a clean sheet. Pascal Gross, the community favourite, managed to get double-digit haul, 11 points with bonus. Sterling scored a brace. Reece James and Cucurella both got an assist and managed to at least get that points rather than as they lost even the clean sheet. Liverpool scoring 9 goals and Mo Salah not being involved finally manages to got through the pain, felt the pain of how Havertz blanked last season. I think most of us will be there in the same Venn diagram, that's even me. So twice I got slapped in my face in two particular seasons. Next is City. City 2-0 down. Erling Haaland all of a sudden woke up and he scored 3 goals. Arsenal were down by a goal, managed to score twice. And yeah, this season is turning out to be a great one for Arsenal. Aston Villa, West Ham, Fornal scored a goal for West Ham. I think he scored in last 4 games or so against Villa. So he finally manages to continue his performance with them. Newcastle, Max, St. Max, Wally, Wolves. I mean, it was a good goal from Neves. But a Pedro Neto assist was denied as he was, I think he made a foul on Ryan Fraser in the build-up. So that was a disappointment for all those owners. And Spurs scoring twice, Kane scoring a brace and then missing a penalty also might have been a hat-trick, and I know the Haaland kid would have got over. So that's a pretty much quick summary of game week 4 results. And the key numbers as we spoke, I mean, Haaland and Kane obviously had more shots. Hence, they scored 3 goals and 2 goals respectively. Anthony Gordon scored 1. Firmino, all of a sudden, 3 assists and 2 goals, right? He scored 22 points, the highest this week. And St. Max also been playing well over the last 2 weeks, but although I think he's rolled out with a thigh injury or something. I'm not sure about the update on that. And as you can see, chances created. Yuri Tillemans with 6. Martinelli with 5. Watcross 5. Bernardo 5. Roberto Firmino 5. And the two underperformers. Mo Salah had an XG of 1.23 but failed to score, which is a surprise. And Luis Diaz, XG of 0.37 and scored twice. And Erling Haaland scored thrice. And all those people who didn't follow the metric got slapped this time. That's all. I think all the three of us got slapped again. So that is a very quick, fast summary of game week 4. Anything you want to add, guys, very quickly before we move ahead?
So one team that pretty much caught my eye outside of the top 6 was Brighton, because Brighton Leeds game, I was very interested because of the fact those two teams started really well, and Brighton pretty much dominated Leeds, which shows they are the best team outside the top 6, at least the early trends point to that. A lot has been spoken about the attack with Pascal Gross being a community favorite. One point I would like to make is that their defense has been even better. So one of Sanchez, one of Lewis Dunk, or another pick that we'll be discussing in a few minutes is going to be really interesting. Brighton haven't scored a lot, but they are still defensively strong, so one attacker, maybe one defender, or even two defenders could be
okay. Surya, I think we had some issues with your connection, I think, but we got your point that having, I think, double yeah. Brighton is great at this point, considering how they are playing. I think Sankalp, would you like something?
Yeah, of course, the talking point of the week is the Liverpool, you know, bashing of Bournemouth. And how Mo Salah, you know, missed out. But I really like the fact that Liverpool fullbacks are now back as well, right, as a talking point. Trent gave a monster 17-point haul. And Trent was one of the, you know, biggest sold players prior to that, you know, post that United match. So now it felt well that these are the two quality assets. Robertson also had 1 assist, 1 clean sheet. So I've not seen, but I think he'll be a double, you know, digit player, I guess, around 9 or 10 points. So overall, things looking good. Again, the next 3 games are again in Liverpool's favour, I would say, defensively. So, I don't know. People who have not yet sold, I would say, you know, just keep hauling now, because the other managers have sold now and you have a differential or, you know, plus 1 on top of them.
Yeah, I mean, all of that debate of transferring out Robertson and all, I think finally this was kind of the game which you were hinting at, right? After the game against United, like this was the do or die game in question for having, you know, the big at the back boys. And I think they finally managed to do something. That was Liverpool who I think finally managed to, you know, kind of give relief to most of the managers who were struggling with a poor start. So I think that was what we've covered up with game week four, what we have seen. I think let's quickly go ahead with the transfer trends. It's just nearly about 24 hours since game week four ended, and these are the most transfer in so far, with Robert Sanchez leading goalkeepers. William Saliba, he got an assist even though Arsenal did not keep a clean sheet. Veltman, surprisingly, who I got in for game week four in place of Digne, finally something worked, but unfortunately he has some stiff neck or something, so we are not sure whether he's going to play midweek or not. That's what Potter said, and he got subbed off for Lamptey in around the 70th minute. Obviously, Luis Diaz finally managed to, you know, score a haul, 8 million player in that mark. I mean, Pascal Gross, Odegaard, Sven Banks, Bernardo Silva, Erling Haaland, still people who have not managed to get him in are getting in him. It's almost 400k transfer ins. See, all of these are pretty much good names, right? I mean, in terms of transfer ins, if we see, I think there's nothing that is so much of suspicious as why people are making such moves, right? I think all these names are looking good, right? Anything you want to add in here? With buy wholesale in mind.
Yeah. I think Saint-Maximin is the one that's pretty odd over here, considering Liverpool's fixture. And he was also took a knock at the end. I remember Sankalp tweeting yesterday when he got a saying he was, the casuals transferred him in like 200k, and then he got an assist as well. So except for Saint-Maximin, I think all the others are good shout. Odegaard actually has outscored Martinelli and Saka in the first four games. Something that we talked from the preseason pod as well, like how he could be a very good option. 0.5 more than Martinelli when the season started, but still he has proved to be a great option. And he's also helped Arsenal in pressure, because he's always stood out in games when Arsenal were kind of in the back foot. I think Sankalp can add a bit more on there. Like, he's the captain and he's a good shout there. And pretty much the others speak for themselves. Bernardo Silva, again, you never know about Pep. Especially, they have like six games in the next 2 weeks, around about 2 weeks. And there's so many options there, with a lot of them coming back from injuries and transfers. Speculations as well. So I'm still not very confident. The list speaks for themselves, why they're being transferred in most. Yeah.
Yeah, Sankalp, you would like something, or we'll go to the most transfer outs?
We'll go to the transfer outs now.
Yeah, that is going to be a lot. I think we'll spend more couple of minutes there, because there are some surprising numbers and some very, you know, expected ones. So Ederson is currently the most transferred goalkeeper, followed by Joao Cancelo. I mean, people are finding ways to transfer out Cancelo and upgrade their midfield. I think that's what is going on. Mo Salah is currently the most transferred midfielder, nearly 300k managers transferring out. Heung-Min also in a very bad patch. Martinelli is a bit of surprising. People are, I think, taking the cash and running out. So probably that is the thing. Pedro Neto, I think they're playing Bournemouth, right? So that is a tricky one for managers who have him. Whether should I hold him or should I sell him? And then Kulusevski, I think for 8 million, he's doing justice. 8.1, I think, is now. I think he's still Ivan Toney, 143k, Jesus, and all these names, right? So anything with regards to hold and sell here?
The guy at the bottom, right, Harry Kane. I'm very surprised to see people selling him, because he's now started hauling, right? He scored two goals. He did miss a penalty. I guess some of the owners got frustrated and sold before he could score the second goal. But I think Harry Kane is now on the uptick. You know, a player that I started the season with, I was really, really thinking that, you know, Harry Kane is the player of the season. And somehow the moment Haaland started scoring, the price started increasing. I switched. And now I can see that Harry Kane has got that confidence back, especially now that you can see that Son is, you know, lacking that confidence. Harry Kane seems to be the man, and he is the center point of all crosses, all passes now again. Right? And he's playing much more, you know, forward than he used to. Cancelo, I'm not surprised, to be honest. I myself, you know, took him out last week on my wildcard. One thing that I would like to say is City are playing a lot of counter-attacking teams now. right? Teams are now looking to hit them on counter on transitions. And that is one of the reasons that we see Pep playing Cancelo as an inverted fullback, right? He's not playing much wider like earlier. If you look at his XGI, I think it's 0.2 or 0.3 over the matches. So very, very low. And that is primarily because he's playing in the central areas. He's no longer, you know, attacking. Except the Bournemouth match, I think all three matches he's been playing inside alongside Walker and Rodri. So it makes sense to move out of Cancelo. We are seeing good options on the defense side, right? Perisic is now starting a lot, we can see. And Trippier, you know, comes out as a very strong option. So people want to save money there and, you know, go up front to that third striker, perhaps. But Tony disappointed a lot, man. I was really expecting Tony to, you know, maybe score a couple of goals, you know, but it's Everton at home. And they had a loss against Fulham. So I was expecting Brentford to hit back very strong. But I think overall, Brentford look really disappointing. I think, you know, post that United match, that sparkle has not, you know, come out again. I'm still looking out, you know, to see whether he does well. But primarily because, you know, post this week, he has Southampton and, you know, Bournemouth. Two key fixtures that everyone likes to attack now. Tony has them, so I would still look at him. But at the end of it, it would make sense for us to look at transition points. And of the three forwards, I think even Ivan Tony will be someone that I would look to upgrade or downgrade, depending on the choices available.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Brentford's fixtures, right, until game week 11, it's quite good. So, as you said, like, you just need to figure out when you need to get him in and out. I think last season, most of us struggled. We got him out at the wrong time and started scoring points. So,
yeah, and one more thing with Brentford is that they've still not decided on a solid back lane. They play three at the back some games, they play four at the back some games. Kind of that constant chopping and changing of tactics also kind of not helping. Visa, again, is not promised as much as he was supposed to from preseason. So Lewis Potter, who came in, he's been really impressive. He's from Hull. He's like the same mold of Jarrod Bowen, same club. Say I think they should settle to go for a back four and then start playing well. And as Sankalp said, those two fixtures are the ones that teams really target these days. So Tony was one off. I would say I hope he starts firing back in the next two games, because at his price point, he's a really valuable asset, considering now mostly everyone has Haaland and Jesus. So the third differential striker spot is Ivan Tony for sure, at least in the shorter period of time. Yeah.
And just to add, Brentford still managed to create, you know, XG of 2.5. They were the second highest XG creator this week.
Yeah.
So, you never know. It makes sense to, you know, just wait and watch and see how they play in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think there's one question in the chat about, I think it's Trippier. And I just had a quick look. Trippier has been currently transferred close to about 100K of the managers that transferred him out. So, here's the question. Is Trippier a keep or sell? And the second part of the question, I think it's upgrade four. I mean, let's focus on the first part. Is Trippier keep or sell based on the numbers we're seeing?
I think Trippier is a fixture-proof kind of a player. So I wouldn't be afraid if he's playing some of the big teams. It was evident of how he played against Man City. Newcastle aren't anymore a bogey team or a team that will sit back and try to get a clean sheet or try to concede less. So Newcastle have shown intent in every game they have played so far. Even yesterday, they were like really good. Like they were trailing, but then still proved to be put in a collective effort to draw the game. So Trippier, again, he's on set pieces. He takes corners. He has multiple routes to get points. So I wouldn't be afraid if he's playing a big six team or say someone like Liverpool. So in my opinion, he's a nail starter as well. So we had a lot of 5 million defenders to begin the season with, but then Matty Cash didn't work out with Aston Villa's current instability. So at 5 million, Trippier is pretty much nailed to start. He's multiple point scoring option. So in my opinion, I would still keep Trippier over rather than downgrading him, because overall, though so many chopping and changing will at the end effectively give the same point in my opinion. Yeah.
So from the list that is shown up here, who do you think are the holds? Like, I think Pedro Neto and all is someone like you would like to have, right? Before you, I mean, especially they're playing Bournemouth. So
Mo Salah.
Yeah, so as a
Mo Salah is a big one.
As a Neto owner, I'll take this. Because their attackers are increasing, so they're getting in a, they're potentially getting in a new striker as well. So there is going to be competition for spots there. So, but as you said, the next two fixtures are really good. So that's the reason I held him and moved away from Leon Bailey last week. So I'm giving him those two fictures at least to see if he could get any his first few attacking returns so far. So Neto, in my opinion, is a definite hold. Yeah,
I think Mo Salah with around 300k transferred outs is probably all the rage transfers going on with all managers. Like, how can you not be involved in even one goal when your team has scored 9? So only all those things happening, and then they wildcard and get him in back. Those might be some of the moves we're seeing. But I think Mo Salah is definitely a hold. You need to have patience.
Two matches at home now. The next three, you know, they play Newcastle and Wolves at home. Ideally, I would expect him to get that clean sheet as well, you know, the extra. And then they play Everton away, right? I don't see... I can understand people not captaining him because he does look off form. He's playing wider. Though I think in the last match, he played much more closer. He kept missing the chances. But last match, he got a lot of chances compared to the earlier you know, matches. So I'm not very convinced of him as an attacker, as a captainer for my team. At the same time, if I'm looking to sell him, I'm thinking, why should I sell him now? Or where do I go, really, right? Because KDB is no longer an option because rotation will start kicking in. Spurs, Kane is the third striker that I would like to go at some point of time. But again, they do have a City match coming on. I'm not really sure of the timing. I think at some point of time, we'll have to time that move where we take off money from Salah and go to Kane as the third attacker after, you know, Jesus and Haaland. But I'm not sure what time it is. I would rather, you know, see out these three matches and then decide.
Yeah, I would like to go to Martinelli because that's an interesting transfer out. And he really looked good against Fulham. He had like 5 key passes. He still got the numbers. And it's, as Aditya said at the beginning, people are trying to get the profit and move off. But now with multiple fixtures coming in, Sankar, what do you think of Martinelli as an asset? Because Smith Rowe could take that spot. So do you think maybe he's a hold, or if you would even say sell at some point?
For me, he's a hold. I think Smith Rowe will start building his fitness by the Europa game. So Europa games are coming, and that's where I expect the likes of Vieira and Smith Rowe to, you know, really start playing. So that's the reason I feel confident playing Martinelli till say game week 7-8, right? Game week 9 is where the fixtures turn from Arsenal, and a lot of us are on two or three Arsenal assets, and that's when you can decide to minimize that risk and take him out. Earlier we did not have a lot of good options, but now I can see players like Grob coming out. So we do have options, and it makes sense to, you know, transit out in case you are no longer confident.
Yeah, I think we have discussed a lot of transfer outs and all. We'll cover up more of the questions later. So let's move on to the next slide. It's game week 5 fixtures. And I mean, Palace Brentford is the first game. Fulham, Brighton, Southampton, Chelsea, Leeds, Everton, you know, as you can see it on the screen and even in your apps and the website. So we'll go on to the next segment, that is, we're going to look at players to target. So we have listed out close to, I think, around 4 players to target. So we don't want to basically talk all the same names, right? We want to pick something that is different and not really spoken a lot. Otherwise, it's boring. We're like just grinding the same X there. So we'll go to the first player to target, and that's the Brighton boys, the Brighton duo. Pervis Estupinan, their new fullback. They've signed from Villarreal, I think. And Leandro Trossard, obviously trying to play well. So I think the segment over to Sankalp and Surya, both of them. So first to Sankalp.
So Estupinian is a player that I am looking at really keen, because at some point of time I would, you know, again, we are all looking to, you know, take out money from the defense and put it into mid or attack, right? And the way he's playing, he's actually supporting Trossard a lot in his transitions. If you go to the next slide, we'll see his playing style is such that he's carrying the ball a lot. At the same time, he's passing the ball right a lot up front. If you look at the graph by Mark Stats, you can see Estupinian right at the top of last match, where he's doing a lot of progression via passes. At the same time, he's dribbling or he's carrying the ball a lot as well, right? If you see his position on the on the position chart at the rightmost place, right? When we looked at the first two matches for Brighton, the left back there used to play a lot more deeper, right? And that also ensured that Trossard fell a lot more deeper. But the moment they have got him in, Brighton look far more attacking now because he's holding the width for Brighton now. He's kind of a, Zinchenko, Tierney type of a player for me. Because a lot of Brighton and Arsenal, playing style is similar in nature. And you can see, the way they are creating, the way they are building the ball, it's very similar. And also, if you look at the graph in the middle, the person who was actually, helping a lot from a scoring point of view is Estupinian. Again, at 4.5 million, the fixtures look really good, right? Overall, I feel, this is a guy that we can really, downgrade some prime assets. So, if, say, you have a Walker in your place, you have double City defense, at some point of time, this makes sense to move out. And these are the kind of players that I would like to, take on so that I can put that money into the middle.
So, anything about Trossard? Yeah. There's also one guy who's we not spoken a lot. Everybody's looking at Pascal Gross now. So,
yeah, I think I pretty much vouched for Trossard last week itself, and it was surprising that he came away with just one assist. Because at the beginning of the season, when Estupinan was not there, he was the one that was holding back the width, and he was not occupying those central areas. But then now he has 20. He has so far had 23 penalty box touches, which is an elite number compared to the likes of Jesus, Haaland, Salah, those kind of levels. So he's the one that's getting into the box because Estupinan is a menace in terms of dribbling as well. He drew a lot of fouls as well playing against Leeds. So he'll be more involved in the attack now. Of course, Pascal Gross is an even more valuable asset. But Trossard is someone that's coming back to his best because he ended the season strongly. That is by playing in the same role because they had Cucurella at the end of the last season. And now since they've got this new left back and it's becoming a little bit more better for Trossard as an FPL asset. A lot spoke about him at the beginning of the season. He didn't start really well. That's because there wasn't Estupinan in the picture then. So I firmly believe these two go hand in hand. So I was pointing it out earlier as well. So a double Brighton attack or maybe a Brighton attacker and a Brighton defender will be the case in like 2-3 game weeks. And if you don't have a Brighton defender, maybe you don't have Rob Sanchez or even if you didn't have Lewis Dunk, I would say Dunk is still a safer option. But if you still haven't had a Brighton defender, Estupinan is a better shout at the moment because he's going to guarantee you attacking points as well at some point. Yeah.
And next week they play, next game week they play Leicester at home, right? A match that I would really like to attack. And post that, it's Bournemouth away. So again, two matches that really, get into that category which you would like to attack.
Yeah.
Yeah. So last week I was looking to, I replaced Digne with Veltman. And I was looking at Veltman or Estupinian and I wasn't sure whether he was going to start and all. So I went with Veltman because I think it was Webster, Dunk and Veltman who were the back three who were kind of very well settled. And I think Veltman got me those 6 points. That's what is needed. But unfortunately, he's out stiff neck. That's what we spoke, right? In terms of transferring. So I'm just hoping he starts. So we'll see how things are going to, pan out. If Veltman is not there, whether Lamptey plays, and I don't know how things are going to switch here and there. So we'll see based on that. So these are the Brighton boys, the duo Brighton. Players that everybody's looking at. And I think something in very small text, the Seagulls are unbeaten in the last 6 away games. Yeah. So we'll see how it's going to turn out against Fulham.
I think they lost a game against Man City in April. So it's been a good run of form for Brighton. So let's not jinx it. Hopefully.
Yeah, let's not jinx it. So we'll go to the third player. And that's Ebrech Eze.
So this kind of was my pick. Yeah. So with Zaha out, I think Eze is continuing to play in his favorite role at Palace, and he's slowly starting to be more of that creator rather than someone that finishes off goals. So he's got a lot of assist potential, and that's pretty much seen on screen. He's ranked third for the number of big chances created. So he's become more of a creator now. Vieira didn't give much about whether Zaha is back or not, but if he's back, it adds the value for Eze as a pick. Palace have somehow weathered the tough run of fixtures in a very good fashion. It's not easy to play City, Arsenal and Liverpool in the first four game weeks of the season, but still they have done very good, tremendously as a unit. Of course, they are switching to a fire-the-back strategy against the big teams, but we will not be seeing that because the next set of fixtures are pretty much easy. So I think Vieira is holding that fire-the-back strategy for games against the top six. So SA will play that number 10 role, and he's been really good. Again, Brentford is a tasty fixture because it's a kind of London derby for them. So I think with a prolonged good run of fixtures, and there is no more midweeks as well compared to the other big six teams. So Eze is a solid shout. Olise is someone that's slowly coming into the team. He didn't play the preseason. So people see these two as combined. When people talk about Eze, invariably there are talks about Olise as well, because they're kind of two young, exciting talents. But I would say Eze has still the higher chances of playing, because Ayu is still there who could take minutes away from Olise. So Eze is an interesting option because he's still 2% owned. Great run of fixtures. He's creating chances. He's playing in his favorite position. So Eze is someone that I look forward to target in the coming weeks. Yeah.
Neto replacement?
Yeah, but potential Neto replacement. So that's
those have enough funds in the bank to get. I mean, with yeah. Neto and Bailey all dropping, people are struggling to get those extra points.
So, because I somehow want Trossard over Pascal Gross. So I am kind of holding that Rodrigo spot if Rodrigo doesn't fire a lot to move to Trossard. So I'm not going to look to get Gross. So my Neto replacement is Eze at the moment. So I might do it this week. So that's a good point. I forgot to add that. Yeah. Thanks, Sankalp.
Sankalp, you want to add anything or we'll go to the next player?
We can go to the next player.
Okay, so there's nothing good. So these are some of the numbers which we put out. Surya, you want to take us through or we'll skip?
No, I'll just quickly add over here. So the main idea was to show this was to see the players that have been doing well outside the top six, considering the fact that now rotation will be a big thing amongst the top six teams. We'll slowly have to look at those budget mids, budget forwards and even budget defenders that are nailed to start week in and week out. Pascal Gross, once again, dominating the numbers. Pascal Gross, Rodrigo, Zaha, the ones that are in the table for both XG and XA. So that means they are kind of a playmaker. They're kind of a talismanistic figure in terms of creating and scoring chances for the team. Yeah, so, and one more player that's been interesting is Gordon. He played really well. He's playing really well. But the problem is that he might move to Chelsea. There's a lot of uncertainty. Otherwise, I would have watched for him. But Gordon has been really interesting in the games that he's played so far. Saint-Maximin, okay, not here, not there. So I would still not recommend him to get him in. So the idea was to show Eze, Rodrigo, Pascal Gross, all of these guys, Harrison, to be the pick of those players outside the top six at the moment with great run of fixtures as well. Yeah.
So we'll move on to the next player. Sakar, anything or all good?
I just want to touch upon Saint-Maximin a bit, right? Because he's coming out to be an interesting pick. I normally don't like to get into the likes of, you know, Saint-Maximin, Traore, Zaha. I consider it traps. You know, the moment I get in, I know they can lose form any point of time. But from fixture point of view, if you look at game week 6 onwards, Newcastle have a very strong run. I think they have built up the attack really well. Again, I've heard that they're getting someone like Bakayoko, right? The guy who was there at Chelsea and went to AC Milan. I think he's going to get into Newcastle now. So Newcastle have a very strong midfield core now. Earlier, you know, unlike the earlier days, And it is helping them very well in transitions. And Saint-Maximin is the perfect guy for transitions. And the fact that, you know, 2 weeks down the line, we will have a new forward coming into that central areas, right? A guy we are missing out. You know, they bought him for 70 million and really exciting talent, someone who will fit into the, you know, Newcastle system. So that's the reason I'm not, you know, dismissive about Saint-Maximin now. I'm like, okay, let's look at the Liverpool match, get some more input, or maybe look at the Crystal Palace match as well. But at some point of time, you know, game week 7, game week 8, we might, you know, look to target him. He looks like a good long-term prospect if he's continuing to do well.
Yeah. And one more point to add about Isaac is that he's someone that will draw the defenders. Saint-Maximin was the one that was drawing defenders in from Newcastle's attack for a long, long period of time. That was the reason that he would look good on the eye, but then he would still not get those attacking returns because defenders would double up on him. But with a player like Alexander Isak in the middle, defenders will be drawn towards him. That will release Saint-Maximin to a larger extent. So even the arrival of Isak further improves the possibility of Saint-Maximin being an even better FPL asset. I know he's been injured. You cannot. He's not been a player that you can trust upon. As Sankalp said, he was one of the traps for the last 2-3 seasons been in Newcastle. But I see that strongly changing. But I would still give those two more game weeks to see. Isak still has work permit issues. I'm not sure if he plays the Liverpool game. So a game or two would see how the entire Newcastle attack settles down. But Saint-Maximin should come into FPL reckoning sooner or later. Yeah.
Yeah, Newcastle is for me the best, you know, defense outside top six already, right? That's why I'm at Trippier. I'm a hold at Trippier. I'm like, okay, there's no reason to sell them. They have good home matches coming in, so keep them, right? At the same time, I can see that Howe is now trying to, you know, transform the attack as well. And Howe is a coach who has given us good attacking teams in the past, right? Bournemouth, I used to give us really strong points from cheaper, you know, players. So something to look out, definitely. They have a good coach. They are building a good structure. So good outcomes are expected.
Yeah, but with Eddie Howe, I mean, like at Bournemouth, Fraser and Wilson were the duo who would either haul or would either blank. So it's nice to see them here, there. I think Wilson also, I think the initial few, the 2 weeks he did score. So I think Surya's, you're saying something?
No. So, yeah, Wilson kind of changed how Newcastle approached the window in the overall as well. They were looking to get a right winger. João Pedro was supposed to come in, but Wilson's injury meant Isak is coming in, which is, in fact, an even better sign for Newcastle because he's someone that has a lot of potential. So, as Sankalp said, their defense is already set. The attack should fine-tune in a few game weeks. So, a really exciting team to look forward in terms of Saint-Maximin, Isak, and potentially Wilson when he's back from injury. Yeah.
Yeah. So, we'll go to the next slide. And the next player is basically, I've put out, it's Raheem Sterling. And his price, 9.9. Ownership is 6. So, I think he scored a brace. When we were speaking in the last stream, I spoke about Sterling against Leeds, but unfortunately, Chelsea didn't play well. But the last game, they managed to play well against Leicester. 10-man Chelsea for almost about an hour, and they did a pretty good job winning. So, Sterling, as you can see the numbers on your screen, he created 6 chances so far, 2 big chances created, 1 assist, 9 attempts on goal, and he scored twice. And Tuchel also said that he's very happy with Sterling, and he hopes Sterling plays a very pivotal role in terms of offensive focal points, creating and scoring goals. So this player is, again, I mean, he's a good player and he's played well in the Premier League, City and Liverpool in the past. So there's nothing a lot to say. And Chelsea's even next run of games are good. But although, yes, we did speak about the previous three players at a very specific price point, like under 7. But yeah, this is he bumped up to 9.9 because I don't want to talk about the same player again and again. I mean, most of us have spoken about all the players. There's nothing very different for us to speak, and we've covered up different teams and different ownerships. So that's why I went with Sterling. And Chelsea, again, they're undefeated against Southampton in the last 5 games. And I think, as far as I read, I think in his 18 appearances against Southampton, he has like 8 goals and 4 assists, or 7 goals and 4 assists. So he, obviously he'll play well. And that's a good shot for that price point. And again, now, how people will look to get him in.
Yeah.
That is the big thing. That is for all those people who are downgrading Cancio to a cheaper City defender and then upgrading one of your 8 million guys and all, or if you're on wildcard. So this is a different approach.
Yeah.
But at this point, we won't see a lot of managers hitting the wildcard and getting in Sterling. But I think as we go down the season far around, Sterling might start to pop up as an option at that particular price bracket. That's what I would say at this point.
Yes, I think Nehal is also quite right saying it's impossible to get him in unless you wildcard or switch to a 3 million. But I fairly agree here. The idea is that we see trends early and the signs of Sterling being the main man for Chelsea is looking good and good. Havertz has not shown a lot of good signs of him being leading the attack. Mount has also not been that great this season. So Sterling has every point that he would be the focal point of Chelsea's attack. To bring him in is going to be a little bit tricky. Maybe one way is to upgrade the 8 million slot. It's going to be tough, but he's definitely one to watch out with the defense also solidifying. James should go back to his ideal position and Chelsea on the whole should look to be a settled attack and defense as a team together.
So, how do you get him in? I think how people are getting him in is via selling Salah. So, you can see Salah has been sold by more than 200k managers. And I can see Sterling already has around 120k odd managers buying him this game week. So, I feel that's how the money is going, right? That's how everyone is funding. It's not a bad point at all because we are not captaining Salah anymore, right? Or maybe we are, but we are not confident about Salah captaincy anymore, right? So it seems okay as a move. Their fixtures are decent. Apart from Southampton away, they face West Ham at home, who's not really playing well at the back. But then they have Fulham away, Chelsea, Liverpool at home. So the fixtures are not very attractive. So that's one of the reasons I would really not, ask you guys to, think of it. But in case you want to differentiate, in case you're chasing, right, I think the combination makes sense because you are going to save almost 3.1 million from going a Salah to Sterling. So where do you use that 3.1 million if you move that money from Archer to a 7.6 million guy, right, to a Tony or to a Mitrovic, right? Then it makes sense because I think as a combination it will start making sense. But only if you are not confident of Salah as a captaincy option anymore.
Yeah.
So I think we've covered up this point. I know Sterling was an odd pick and it was something different. And that's the reason we are putting out players in this particular bracket, as we don't want to talk about all the commonly spoken players who are hauling constantly. I mean, something different for people who would like to try out, and hopefully it goes right. So we'll go on to the next slide that are your questions that we've got from Instagram. Then we'll move on to captaincy and our bus team. So here are a couple of questions. What to do with Mason Mount is the first one there. And I'm just seeing if there are any common questions. No. Yeah. So this is the first one.
Mount, I think last week, if you'd have asked me this question, I would have kept him, but there is still no... There's still no signs of an attacking return coming from there. Of course, there's a Southampton game, but on the whole, like pretty much every other 8 million midfielder that started the season have given us something. Even the likes of Saka has got something, but Mount has not done anything so far of to notice. So I would sell Mount definitely this week. Yeah, that's my opinion.
Easy move to Diaz. If you still have place for Liverpool asset, easy move to Diaz.
Yeah, Mount is already dropped to 7.8. So again, I hope those who are transferring Mount have enough funds in the bank, because again, you have to waste your second transfer or take a hit. So it's been very harsh this season. But another question here is downgrade Cancio to Walker. So we saw about 200k managers have transferred out Cancio. So we are seeing a lot of bow bench here and there. So what do we do?
I did it on a wildcard last week. So I played my wildcard early. I did a Cancio to Walker because I could use that money again to fund a Archer to Tony. I like the idea, but I don't like Walker as an option anymore. I think 5 million, 5.1 million, you have players like Trippier, right? You have better options. Or even go a bit low, right? Don't get fixated by price points. I think Brighton have good options coming up. We have Arsenal with Saliba, who's really giving us returns, right? So there are options outside City. It's okay to look outside City, primarily because there's also rotation which is going to come in.
Yeah.
So the next question is about the Leeds, guys. So, I mean, Rodrigo, his price went from 6.1 to 6.5 despite the blank. And I think now people are transferring out from in. So, again, Harrison or Rodrigo?
I think that Brighton game was always going to be tough. That is, he was always, I always felt that I transferred him in last week, but I kept telling myself that it's for a longer period of time, not for the Brighton fixture, because Brighton is good. So, but to talk a little bit more about Leeds attack, if the entire Leeds attack is available, Rodrigo doesn't find a spot for himself. So, that was the case and how Marsh looked at this attack, with Sinistra on the right, Harrison on the left, Bamford on the front, and Aronson at the number 10 role. But the fact that one of them has been injured, Sinistra didn't start the season, and then Bamford started and he's injured. So there's been always that slot for Rodrigo. So I don't see that changing, at least for the next 3-4 game weeks, wherein Leeds fixtures are good. And there were positive talks about Bamford being involved for the game, but I don't think he starts. That gives Rodrigo the penalty chances as well. So, as a Rodrigo owner, I will selfishly say Rodrigo. But if you are looking at a longer run, Harrison is the more nailed one from what I have read, what Marsh is looking to build at Leeds. Rodrigo is not a long-term option, I would say. But yeah, in the shorter run, I would definitely go Rodrigo.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, even I would probably say Harrison, as you said. I think for the price he's offering at 6.1 at this point, I think that's what is differentiating me, because you have to pay 0.4 more to get Rodrigo. So rather spend the 0.4 elsewhere rather than, you know, going and surrendering yourself to a price rise player. So that's why Harrison long term is better. Next, we'll go on to another question that is here. Is it worth downgrading Salah to DS and upgrading strikers to keep both Kane and Haaland? So this is what I think is going on a lot, right? Again, the transfers are saying people are downgrading Salah to facilitate upgrades elsewhere. So we just cover this as a whole now.
Makes sense. For me, I just don't see Salah, you know, having the form. Right. If you're going to Diaz, I think more or less he'll cover, primarily because you're not captaining that player. Right. I don't trust Diaz as a captaincy option. Similarly, Salah is no longer that 100% surety. Right. So if you're going Kane and Haaland, it makes sense. Just that rotation is going to kick in. Right. Both Kane and Haaland are going to have rotation. Conte clearly said, you know, Kane is not going to continue like earlier. He's going to rest him a bit. And Salah does not have rotation in mind, right? So that might be a point for you to think about before you go this ultra defensive.
So next, we have a couple of questions on Spurs about Perisic. Like, is Perisic going to start? Will Perisic play? Should I keep Perisic and all? Should I remove Perisic? So Surya, yeah, please take us through this.
I'll take this. I think he starts mainly two reasons. He was hooked early yesterday. And also for the fact that West Ham are a very aerially attacking team. So they would need Perisic for his height factor. And it's going to be a tricky game. And Paul O'Keefe, the one that's been predicting Spurs pretty successfully over the weeks, he tweeted yesterday as well saying, at the moment, I would be surprised if he doesn't start. So I would still say Perisic starts. So I have him in my team and I'm looking to start him. So he's a starter, at least in my opinion and what we have seen so far. Yeah.
Okay. There is another one about Gross and Harrison. I have both. Who should I start and bench or something? So.
Okay. That's
finally got one tough one.
that's actually a tough one, because Leeds have a good fixture, right? Now in form. I'm not going to put one name out and get caught later. So, Uncle Bia, do you have any thoughts?
I would go fixture, definitely. Fulham is not going to be easy, primarily because it's away, right? If it was Brighton home, I would have still gone Gross. But if you have this dilemma, I think, you know, Harrison feels to be the better fixture to, you know, target. But I would still say find a way to play both, because both are players who are finding points, right? See, you know, look for some conventional defender that you keep on playing. See if you can drop that one person and play both, because it makes sense. There's a high possibility both will return.
Yeah. And also Holgate is injured for Everton, so that is they're not slightly defensively weaker as well. That's a point to add for the lead shout. Yeah.
Yeah, so I would even agree with Shankar. Just start both and just see who you can drop out. That's the safer way to answer these questions, I think.
So if not Harrison. Not Harrison Firm.
Yeah. Just because they're playing at home, that gives a big boost.
Exactly. And Fulham away is not easy. We have seen
easy game. Yeah.
Do you think that Haaland may be benched due to Champions League? So I think we had Alex post a very long thread on who he thinks is going to start. There's also a post on the blog, Apsar Surya. What are your thoughts on this particular one?
So, in simple words, no one knows what will happen. but to dig it a little bit more deeper, I think after bagging a hat-trick, it would be incredibly unlikely that he's benched. So, in my opinion, Haaland starts, and Haaland is still a good captaincy option this week. But that rest is coming. We would not know if that comes in a UCL game or the Aston Villa game. Aston Villa currently are not looking good, so Pep might think it would be ideal to rest him for the Villa game so that he's ready for the CL game as well. Because the fact that their first two CL games are also a little bit tricky. They play Sevilla and Dortmund, and there is Spurs in between as well. So giving him the rest later than earlier would make a lot more sense from my opinion. So I think Haaland starts this week and be probably benched for the Villa game because Julian Alvarez is also there. We'll be seeing him sooner or later, and City is still scoring goals. So it's tough, but I think I would say Haaland starts this week. Yeah.
So question for him is, he has Salah and Diaz. He does not have Kane and Haaland. Should he move to one of these guys? I would say, just stick to the ones that you have, right? Yeah, because both the players will play one and miss one. I think Salah and Diaz will play both, that start both. That seems a bigger possibility. So just keep them and see it out.
Yeah,
so we have next three questions that I'll quickly brush off. There's one on Trippier, hold or sell. We have all come to a conclusion. Trippier is a hold. Sell Trippier, sell Williams for who? Don't sell Trippier. And Neco Williams, don't sell Williams at all. His numbers are way high. One day he's going to bang a double pointer, because he had nearly one shot go in against Spurs. It just got deflected. It went wide. Yeah. And he's been playing well. So at 4.1, I think we shouldn't ask a lot for a mini Trent. So just be happy with what we've got. And Raya and Sanchez, don't do that. Just keep Raya and don't transfer him off.
Definitely. That's makes a sense. Very stupid move.
Don't do that. Don't waste a transfer. So I think we've done with most of the questions. Anywhere in the chat, I'm not seeing any newer ones. We've kind of covered up all those when we spoke. Unless we find some, we'll pin it up later. So next, we'll go on to captaincy. I'm going to keep this screen as it is for now. Okay, there's one. Robbo. We'll just, because I've seen this twice. Robertson, keep or sell if you don't have James?
Definite keep. For the next three matches, keep. It's okay. Because Chelsea is still finding a way to concede. Mendy does not seem to be on form. Right? Yeah. So, makes sense. Just keep. I see 2 to 3 clean sheets possible for Liverpool now. So, just keep them.
Yeah, so I would say if you want a Chelsea defender, just wait for Fofana's transfer to be done and then slot him in your 4.4 slot. If you want just a Chelsea defender, I don't have a Chelsea player. Because Robertson, I think, after that haul, right, of last week, I think Liverpool are just back. I think they will hopefully they'll continue the same way. So just don't do anything there. So I think that is done. Next, we'll go on to captaincy.
Captaincy, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to reduce the screen. We're going to pin this out. And
So
captaincy is something, I think it's just against Salah versus Haaland. Again, kind of for this week. And maybe one or two other differential options. So what do you think, guys?
So I'll start. I think I'll continue from what I spoke with Haaland. So I strongly believe Haaland continues this week. So that automatically makes him one of the best options. But the the negatives of Haaland captaincy is that if I'm pretty sure City will win that game, and if they are comfortably ahead by say 55, 60 minutes, Haaland goes in if he still starts as well. So that gives you a very little bit, a smaller window compared to the rest in terms of hauling. But if he starts, he'll get at least one return. So you're playing it safe if you go Haaland captain, because the crowd will also go with Haaland considering he scored a hat-trick. So Haaland is the safer option. I'm looking at Haaland at the moment. I'm still not sure about Salah, because Newcastle aren't any pushovers in terms of playing against the big six teams. He's slightly been off, so I'm still not confident of Salah as a captain choice. Maybe Jesus. Sankal, what are your thoughts on Jesus as a captain option?
So I had Jesus last game week. I went anti-Salah, but it didn't work out as well I wanted it to. I am currently on hold on Jesus captaincy. I feel, points are there for the taking. I know he would like to score because he's not scored the last two matches, right?
Yeah.
And Aston Villa do not look really good, right? I really like the Haaland move, but that's the, thought in my mind that if he scores, even if he scores one goal, right, I expect a 55th minute, 60th minute, sub, right? I don't think he'll get a hat-trick again to, really hit us, because the goalkeeper for them, right, Henderson, is in really good form. So that's the reason I'm not very sure on Haaland. I'm not going for Salah captaincy, primarily because he's not the guy on form, right? I don't want to put my captaincy on a hope prospect. So it's primarily for me, it's Jesus or Haaland. And currently, I'm still leaning Jesus. Again, it might be a bit of my Arsenal bias, but I just feel that, it's a match at home. Aston Villa are not looking good. And that rotation factor for Haaland. If there was no such factor, I would have definitely gone Haaland. But with that in mind, I am sticking to my guns, and most probably, I'll end up with Jesus again.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, both Gabriel Jesus and Erling Haaland, both are playing home games. So, I think that Haaland is probably a better shout. But again, with Nottingham playing a back five, right? So we know what happened against Bournemouth when they played a back five and he just managed to get one assist because they were very tightly marking him. But we'll see. We don't know. Right? If they give him one space, he's just going to run through them and score. So I think it's more or less Haaland versus Gabriel Jesus. Salah is always there if you want to captain. There's nothing wrong with him. It's just that this season, it's a bit weird. As compared to last season, we only had one answer. Now we have multiple answers and things are going different ways.
The one thing about Haaland against the low block, I know Haaland got away with an assist against Bournemouth, but he could have hauled big that game too if Foden squared to him rather than shooting himself. So that I'm still not sold over that narrative of Haaland not being good against low blocks. He's someone that's did really well in low blocks against teams in the Bundesliga from the past. So, I wouldn't consider that to be a problem to decide Haaland captaincy. The point of difference for Haaland captaincy is that he might be sub early and the hat-trick might not be there for the taking. So, that's how I see Haaland as an option. Someone asked for a differential captain. maybe Gundogan, because he was benched. He's safe to start. And again, that home game is also there. He's again popping into the box just like he did a few seasons back as well. So Gundogan has a differential shout, but I don't see any other option to captain someone else for the sake of captaining someone else. Yeah.
United?
Yeah. No, the attack is still coming along, Sankar. I wouldn't go there yet. No. We still need Anthony coming in, should change that, because it was all one-dimensional against Southampton. In fact, we struggled, huffled and puffled to that victory. So, still early days to have someone like Rashford or Sancho as a captain.
Bruno, in case you are on a wild card or you are looking to sell Salah, right? I really liked Bruno in the last match as well. I think he's now starting to pick form again, right? And these are the kind of matches when we used to, captain Bruno last season or the season before that. that, right?
Yeah.
If they're playing Leicester, it makes just sense to, you know, put the captaincy on Bruno, right? So you never know, it might haul. But yeah, Gundo is a very strong shouter. I think the playing style will really suit in this match. It will really suit to someone like Gundo to return. Yeah. In case you have him, definitely go there and put him on the captaincy. I think there's nothing wrong as such.
Yeah.
So, next we'll go on to our bus teams. I'm going to get a slide up. Like, I don't want to talk about United because there are a lot of players that I want to talk about, but we are not looking good. So, we'll just wait for that. So, this is our bus team, right? The three of our squads are up front. So, Sankalp's team is pretty much there on his grade. He's going with Gabby Jesus at the moment. My team, my armband is on Salah because the screenshot is a bit old. I mean, 2-3 hours back, I've not really even thought about captaincy. And that is Surya's team at the last. Any planned transfers you guys are thinking or it's just the same?
I made mine yesterday night, fearing price rises. At some point of time, I saw Trippier was around 80% of the price rise and it was strongly rising, right? And when I woke up, I saw people have started selling him. I don't know why. But what I did was I sold Madison, who still has the injury, so I don't know when he comes back. I sold Madison and Walker and I got Diaz and Trippier just in time. Trippier is on bench because they're playing Liverpool, but after that, he starts every match. So, this is how my team looks now.
Yeah. Mine, again, I just took the screenshot for you. I didn't see who the captaincy was on. So, ignore that. Nato, as I was talking about Olise before, so I'm looking to shift that Nato spot for this week. So, Olise is someone that Eze is someone that's on my thought. I got confused there. So that's one transfer that I am looking. Otherwise, I'm pretty sorted as it stands. The Brighton attacker and Brighton defender is one area that I need to address pretty soon because I haven't got any of them. So Estupinan is an option, but I have to upgrade Nico Williams for that. I'm still not confident on that because Nico Williams himself has a great run of fixtures and he has a big haul in him anytime soon. So, most likely, my move would be moving Neto away if I do that transfer or if I hold and then I'll do two transfers game six.
Yeah, so my team, very quickly, I'm not looking to do any transfers this week. I am short of funds to upgrade Bailey. So probably I'll save my transfer and use both of my transfers probably next, I mean, game week six. That's just about in 3 days or so. Maybe downgrade Ramsdale to Henderson and then move Bailey here and there. That's what is my plan at this point. But we'll see if things change in the next couple of hours before the deadline. So that pretty much sums up my team and all of our teams here on up on the screen. And we're pretty much done even with this stream and this episode. Those who have joined us live on this chat, we're glad. Thank you for being part of it. And those who are listening all to us to on audio platforms on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, please do drop us a rating. And those on YouTube, a like and a subscription would help us a lot going the long way. We'll see you all most probably for game week 7 because game week 6 turnaround time is very less. And if we can, we'll try to do a deadline day stream. That's not guaranteed, but we'll see all of you all most likely for game week 8. Was it game week 8, right? Game week 7, sorry. Not 8. We went way far to it.
So yeah, game week 7. Game week 7.
Yeah, game week 7. So thank you all for listening and joining. And yeah, we will see you all next week.
Take care, guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.